Good evening, everybody. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord God, for who you are, God. We thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for just this privilege, oh God, to know that you are the Most High, holy, sovereign, righteous, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, oh God. You are God Elohim, God Jehovah. Lord, you are our righteousness. Father God, you are our life, and we thank you. We thank you, oh God, for this privilege of being your children. We thank you, oh God, for this privilege, Lord God, to know that, Lord, that you just let, that you desire us, that you desire us, oh God, that we are your glory and you are ours, Father. We thank you just for this opportunity, even to know, Lord God, that you're speaking to us, even especially in these times, oh God, Heavenly Father, deliberately and explicitly, oh God, Heavenly Father, just eternal words of life and validation and affirmation, oh God, and fulfillment, Lord God, and peace and joy, oh God. These are the things, Heavenly Father, that you have laid aside for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, oh God. And we just pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you would magnify yourself in us, even as we study and search your word, Lord God. Heavenly Father, that you would be revealed to us even the more. Heavenly Father, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified in us and through us, oh God. Have your way right now. Crucify my flesh, Father God, that I won't speak or even of myself, oh God, and out of myself or how I feel, what I think, oh God. But Lord God, it is your will, oh God. Your mind be magnified, oh God. Heavenly Father, your spirit be magnified, Lord God. Heavenly Father, just to speak to our hearts, oh God. Break us, oh God. Heavenly Father, conform us, oh God, to the very likeness of your Son. Heavenly Father, that above any other thing, our very lives, oh God, Heavenly Father, might bring you glory. Have your way right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. For his sake, we pray. Amen. So we're continuing in the in this week's in just the theme for this month, you know, growing in the knowledge of God, as we continue to look at this and just the importance of our continued growth in Christ Jesus. Is not like, you know, to know that it's not even about how much you know. We don't measure growth in that way. It's really just about our continued pursuit of an intimate relationship and fellowship with God through Jesus Christ is really what this is about. And it's an amazing privilege just to know that God, you know, he desires fellowship with us. That's what we were created for. He created us for that purpose, that we might have fellowship with him. And like I said, that just to be ever mindful, right, and sensitive to the privilege that we have in knowing Christ Jesus. And we're not even going to revisit a lot of what we've already done. We want to move forward. But hopefully you've had an opportunity to look at some of those reference scriptures under that first heading, where it talks about our privilege, knowing that of all the people that you might have the privilege to meet, right, in this world, or to know the fact that God Jehovah himself desires fellowship and relationship with us. It trumps any relationship that you ever have, trumps any other experience that you'll ever have in knowing somebody in a time where folks are looking to connect and relate to people that have certain status, right, certain privilege, a certain fame and glory about them. The greatest honor we'll ever have is to know God and to know that he desires us and that he loves us, right? And he literally wants wants an intimate relationship with us, and you know, his desires for us to spend time, quality time with him. That's the greatest privilege that we'll ever have. So we dealt with that last week. You know, he delights in us. And then I think we finished on Matthew 11:28, where he deals with that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? And just that invitation, he was inviting us. We'll look at that really quickly when we start there, and then we'll jump right into the next section right after that. But Matthew 11 and 28, and really, we talked about this a little bit last week, but it starts in verse 27 in Matthew chapter 11, where Christ says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Listen, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him to, right? And one thing we talked about last week, right? When he says that, you know, no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, right? We said that represents what? What do we say that represented? That represents their fellowship, right? And that's a fellowship that started. When did that fellowship start? When did that relationship start?
From the beginning.
Absolutely. It always was, right? Right? It was a fellowship that's always existed. So, you know, we tend to measure the level, right? The quality, the magnitude of a relationship by how long we've known somebody. Like some of our best friends, and the people who know us the best are some of the folks who have known us the longest, right? So there's a connection, there's a correlation, related to, you know, the quality of a relationship, not always, but in most cases, the quality of a relationship and how long you've known somebody. So, you know, we think about that. What does that say about the fellowship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, right? That existed before time ever was, right? Then there must be a wonderful relationship, a wonderful fellowship, right? An exclusive one. But, you know, what we see here is an invitation, right? In verse 28, an invitation from Christ to us, right? And more specifically in this text, to the children of it, you know, to the children of Israel and to us, right? Inviting us into this very prestigious, was the word I was looking for, prestigious relationship. So it's a tremendous honor, a very high honor, right? To be invited into this fellowship that he's bestowed upon us. And what I, you know, and I think we talked about last week, what was so amazing about it, and he tells us, he says, you know, nobody knows one another the way we know one another. And he says, but look, he says, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, listen, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So he's telling us a couple of things here, right? Number one is the Father, right? The Father is revealed, or God himself is revealed through the Son. And that, you know, and that aligns with where we were in our focus text in Colossians 1, I'm just going to flip there and read it real quick, but we're going to come right back here. When he says in verse 15, when he's talking about Christ Jesus, and he says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, right? So he is the image of God, right? he represents God. So, you know, and he says, you know, in later in the Gospels, right, Christ declares of himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. So we can't, we all know this. We can't get, we can't get to God by no other way than Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the way to God, right? He is God. And so he's letting us know, he says that no man knows the Father except the Son, right? And whosoever the Son will reveal it. So the Son will reveal the Father, right? So he is the way, he's the means to knowing the Father, right? But then he extends the invitation. He says, come unto me, right? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest, excuse me, unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So then he extends the invitation to us. So, you know, when we talk about this privilege that we have in growing in the knowledge or the knowledge or this relationship or this fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, the magnitude of that privilege, right, is on display here. Because number one, we see it as a very prestigious opportunity, a very prestigious invitation to be fellowship with none other than the Father and the Son, right? But not only that, is it such a tremendous privilege. Not only does that make it such a tremendous privilege, but of the fact of who they are, right? But what makes it even crazier is the fact of who we are. You understand what I'm saying? Right? It's not, there's nothing that we've done that makes us worthy of this invitation, of this privilege to know God, right? And this is my hope, that it all ties back. Like Paul's prayer in Colossians 1, which was our focus text, that we grow in the knowledge, right? And it's not just, you know, it's not just a thing of won't you come partake in this, right? But when we think about like who we were, right? In the condition that we're in, and we don't have to look any further. I don't know if anybody had an opportunity to read this chapter 11, you know, and what Jesus professed to them when he says, verse 16 of that chapter 11, he says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. For John neither came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. Listen, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and winebibber, a friend of the publicans, sinners, but wisdom is justified of their children. And he's basically dealing with the rejection, right? So here we have a holy God extending an invitation of love, right? And we have a people who've rejected him, right? And we don't have to, you know, we know the stories in the gospel. We've seen, you know, millions and millions of, not millions, but we've seen so many examples of this rejection of Christ Jesus. And we think about who he is, right? Like, and we'll say, well, who are we to reject invitation from God himself, right? But his desire for us never runs out, right? He continually pursued us, right? And look, he says in verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you, right? Or that you have witnessed of him, right? The thing of Christ's life and the miracles and the things that he had performed. If these folks had seen it, he's saying, right? In Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth, in ashes. And he continues, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. We know that these were wicked. And rebellious people at the day of judgment than for you, because they had Christ, right? They had Christ before them. They saw, right? The very testimony of scripture as testified in John chapter one, and the word became flesh and we beheld his glory, right? Right, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, but yet they still rejected him. He said, and thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in Sodom, and we all know what was going on, right? The stories of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? It would have remained until this day, saying if Sodom had seen the works of Christ, if they had witnessed, right, the love and the grace and the extension of this invitation that Christ was given, they would have repented. Even in the midst of the level and the depths of sin that they were in, they would have repented. But the stiff-neckedness and the stubbornness, right, of the Jewish nation in rejecting Christ Jesus, right? He said it is more tolerable for them than it is for those of Israel. That's how thick, right, the depths of the rejection of Christ Jesus. But yet still, even my point being, yet still, even after that, he declares in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Even that, he's still calling us. My point being, the desperate nature and the degree and the magnitude of Christ, of God's desire for us, right, ought to propel us, compel us, ought to confound us, ought to persuade us that we ought to be wanting to get to know this God even more. He's not just somebody that has come to meet our needs or to answer our prayers or to give us things, right? He's somebody that we ought to want to know. If the promises of God were to stop tomorrow, just based on the nature and by virtue of who he is and his great love and desire and what he's done, even by way of the cross, ought to compel us to want to know Jesus Christ. We ought to want to know him, y'all. That ought to be our pursuit. We ought not go through life just being people of religion, right? That just, well, it's Sunday. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to hear a word. I'm going to come to Bible study on Wednesday night and get taught the word, right? I'm going to come to prayer meeting. I'm going to participate in prayer, but I'm going to go about trying to live my best life in this world. We miss the whole point of this salvation walk. This salvation walk is about relationship. It's about him loving us and us reciprocating. It's a reciprocal type of relationship. He loved us. He first loved us. And guess what? We ought to respond in love. That's what it's all about. And if we don't see it, if we can't see the cross, right? And if we can't see the magnitude of the love God has for us through the cross and his desperate desire for us to continue to pursue us throughout all of eternity, even before the foundation of the world, his desire for us to make provision for our salvation, if we can't see it, woe unto us. We got it. Listen, there ought to be something in us. There ought to be something in us, man, that's crying out for him. Because guess what? man, he's been seeking and searching for us. He said, for when we were yet without strength, in Romans chapter 5, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We were not thinking about him, right? And he called us out. He said, for scarcely would one die for a righteous man. And in peradventure, or least likely would one die for a good man. And we were none of those. We were none of those, right? He said, but Christ commended a love while we were yet still in our sin. That, when he said in due time, that was what he meant, at the right time. That was the time. You know why, y'all? You know why he did it that way? So that we couldn't claim, that we couldn't lay claim on anything that Christ done as if we deserved it. He wanted us to know how much he loved us. He wanted us to know, right, the depth of which he was willing to go to redeem us and to reconcile us back to himself. That's a love that we won't find. He wanted to show us and demonstrate to us a love that is not of this world, that is not of this life, that can't be replicated or duplicated, right? In this world, he wanted to show us something so otherworldly, so. This is the holiness of God. This is the otherness of God, right? To demonstrate something at a level that cannot even be closely duplicated in this world, so that we know without a shadow of a doubt how much he loves us. And listen, y'all, that's what our hearts have to be broken to. That's what our hearts have to be broken to in this salvation. Our hearts have to be broken to the depths of the love of Christ. That's why Paul prayed what he prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, right? What he said, his desire, it's like his prayer was that we'd be rooted and grounded in love, that we'd be able to comprehend with all the saints what the vast dimensions of the love of God, the breadth, the depth, the length, the height, right? And to know in our hearts the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's otherworldly, right? It transcends all, right? This love. Why? That we might be filled with the fullness of God. And it's that love. It's that love that sets us up for true relationship. And once we're into what God has done, the extension, the depth, the magnitude of this invitation, right? You know, and we feel privileged when somebody invites us to a wedding or to an event, or somebody's celebrating a milestone birthday and celebrating, and we get that invitation. There's a certain level of pride that we feel, right? But there's no invitation that compares to this invitation that God has bestowed upon us, that we might be his children. He says, come unto me, all that are labor. That laboring is a laboring in sin. We've been laboring in sin and unrighteousness and our own independence and pride and ego and all this other stuff and self-centeredness. He says, that's who I want. I want you. I desire you. Come unto me. All you've been tripping and laboring and struggling in that, right? Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke. Let there be an exchange. I'll exchange you trying to do this thing versus me doing it for you. Give it to me is what he's saying. This is the extent. This is why we ought to want to know him. This is why we ought to be pursuing him with everything that we have. And not some lackadaisical type of spirit and mentality. Oh, I'm just going to press my way. I get it. We get tired in the body, in the flesh. That's part of being in the flesh. But guess what? Guess what? The knowledge of his desire and his love for us ought to overcome that spirit. Get us to a place, man, where we can't, listen, man, we ought to be running to our closet. We ought to be running to the word of God. We ought to be running to a time of intimacy and fellowship and sharing and talking with him. Because listen, this is not ceremonial. This is not ceremonious at all. This is all about an intimate relationship with him. Man, running to him to tell him all about our troubles, to tell him about our day and what we went through. in some of the things, and you can be yourself in his presence. Even some of the things that you've thought and crossed your mind, because he saw it all. We're naked and exposed before him, and we know that his love never fails, and we can approach his throne. His throne of grace. And receive mercy, because that's how much he loves us. And we ought to be able to run to him. We ought to be able to run to him because he sees us as we are. He knows everything about us. And guess what? His mind has never changed. His mind's never changed about us. And it never will. And it never will. And that's why we ought to be running to him. We ought to be this invitation. We ought to be running to him. And, oh, man, I got to get in this. Like it's some kind of burden. That's the flesh lying to us. And that's why we've got to die to ourselves, so that we can know we are, man, because we're running to our blessing. Man, we're running to peace. We're running to joy. We're running to deliverance. We're running to fulfillment, validation, and affirmation. We're running. We're running to him. We're running. All the things that we try to get in this world, where they fall short of fulfilling those things, all those things are in him. We're running to him. We're running to him. Man, and that's the privilege that we have in knowing Christ Jesus. And then we ought to stop trying to find those things in the world, because the world is feeding us a lie, because it can't meet that need. But only he can. And only he can. And that's why we ought to be, our desire ought to be growing, ought to be about growing in the knowledge of who he is. I'm telling you. We have this privilege. That's the privilege that we have of being the children of God. It's an amazing privilege. It is an amazing privilege, right? So take a look at those verses we have an opportunity. And so let's look at this. It's our glory and our fulfillment. We talk about this fellowship, as we grow in the knowledge of God, right? There's where we find our fulfillment, right? It's kind of what I've even just kind of really was just sharing, right? That's where the glory is, right? So let's look at this, Colossians 1:27 and Colossians 2:9 and 3:4. Look at this. He says, we've talked about this so many times. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, right? Right? It had been hidden from the beginning of time, right? Which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Christ in us. That's the glory. That's the glory that he speaks of. That's the glory that he speaks of here. We were just in Ephesians, right? We just quoted Ephesians chapter 3. Look at it. And Paul reflects and refers to this so many times in so many ways. Just write it down. You don't even have to turn here. I just want to read it really quickly. But when we talk about the privilege, and we talk about this glory that we have in Christ Jesus, which is basically his life in us, right? Look, he says, for this cause in verse 14 in Ephesians 3, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Listen, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, right? The riches of his glory. What is he talking about in Colossians chapter 1? He's talking about the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. These are the riches of the glory. The fulfillment that we have is Christ in us. The privilege that we have is this fellowship with Christ. It's the same thing he's referring to in this verse 16 in Ephesians 3, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. Listen, to be strengthened with might by his spirit, where? In the inner man, right? This is our fellowship. This is what he's talking about, Christ in us, his life in us. This is our fellowship. This is the privilege. We have Christ. The wonder of this privilege, the wonder of this knowledge or this relationship or this fellowship is not like any other fellowship, right? And if you take it, the closest thing you could compare, but it's not even really close, but the thing you could compare to is the relationship between a husband and a wife, right? Or even a mother and a child, right? Right? Where the bond, right? Still that bond doesn't compare, because this bond is one where Christ is living in us, right? And not only is he living in us and in occupying the very throne seat of our heart, but he's in us and it's so intimate and it's so intensive to the point where he's replacing us, right? This is the glory. And guess what? This is what I call a reciprocated glory, right? Because listen, Christ, right? And we talked about it. We are the object. And we read it last week in Proverbs chapter 8, when he talks about, you know, they created all things and they rejoiced in the habitable parts of what they had created, just admiring all that they created. But what did he say? He said, but their delights were with the Son of Man. But above things, he's always distinguishing us. We've always been distinguished. There's always been a distinction when he talks about us, even in creation, right? Even from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, he created all those things. And what did he do? He said, we looked at all those things and he said, behold, they're good. But what did he do? He gave us dominion over all those things, because his delights are with us, right? Not only that, but he calls us out. He distinguishes us even in this Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. He says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile what? All things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven, right? He's reconciled all things, right? All things he's reconciled, all things. And even earlier, he talks about how he created all things, right? And all those things were created by him. They were created for him. They were created of him. And now he's reconciling all those things. But then look at what he says in the next verse. In verse 21, he makes another distinction. And he says what? And you, and me, and us, the same ones, the sons of men, those who he's delighted from the very beginning, those of us, we are the very apple of his eye. He's always calling us out. He's always distinguishing us from every other thing that he's created. Why? Because his greatest desire and delight is us. And we ought to be his. And so this is the thing. So my point being, when he talks about the riches of this glory, Christ in us, that's our glory. He's our glory. But guess what, y'all? From the foundations of the world, we've been his glory. We are his glory. So we share in this reciprocal relationship, this reciprocated, what's supposed to be, this reciprocated love, reciprocated glory, where we are his glory. He is our glory. We are the apple of his eye. He should be the very apple of our eye. It's a fulfilling, validating, affirming relationship that we have. We've got to see him in a different light. We've got to see this privilege for what it is. This honor, the greatest honor that can ever be bestowed, is the fact he knows our name. The fact that he knows he's numbered the very hairs on our head. The fact that he loves us, he's called us out and he's distinguished us above all other things. Amen. Amen. And he is, and we are, and he is our everything. And that's the thing, y'all. That's the whole point. This whole point of this relationship that we have is living in the glory, right? And the knowledge, growing in the knowledge of who he is and who we are in reflection to him. That's the glory. That's why this world has no victory over us, because of who our position in Christ Jesus. The fact that he, not that we, not just that we have him and he has us, how much he loves us and how much he's doted over us, even before the foundation of the world. We've got to be broken to the fact that we're loved by him. And guess what? As a result of that, there's nothing in this world. That's why we've got victory, y'all. That's why we've got victory over this world. But guess what? If this thing is not relational, if it's not relational, man, we won't know it. We'll walk in depression. Man, we'll walk in low self-esteem. Man, we'll walk in the spirit of hopelessness and helplessness, eyes fixated on the news and what's going to happen in the election and what way the economy is going to go in the stock market, and all of our hope found in all of these things. No, they're in Christ Jesus. It's in him. It's in the fact that we know that he loves us. And guess what? Our eternity and faith are sealed in him. We've got the hope of his promise. And that's why Paul could say what he said in Romans chapter 5. Even in tribulation, we rejoice. Even in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope or assurance. And that hope will not make, well, that hope will not make us ashamed. It'll never disappoint us. Why? Because our hearts, the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts. In other words, our hearts have been broken to the love of Christ. We know we're loved. I know I'm loved. We've got to know that we're loved. Not just that we're loved, and it's not any old, no, some measly old kind of love. It's a love this world can't compare. It's not the type of love that we look for, the validation that we look for in people and in this world. It's something else. It's holy. It transcends anything that we'll ever find in this world. Listen, and that's where our hope is. That's where our fellowship and our relationship lies. It's grounded in that place, in that love. Man, we got to know it. And that's why we ought to be growing. That's because that love ought to propel us to want to know more about him. Him. It's not just in the memorizing the Bible verses, right? And in all these things, but it's finding the person of Christ in the word of God and getting to know him even more. Man, that's what it's not about, religion. It's not. Man, it's about this relationship, this privilege. We can't take, listen, go, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. We can't, but we can't take it for granted. Man, we got to live. To live, we got to breathe. Right? In him I live. In him I have my being. In the knowledge of who he is. And how much he loves us. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. We can't take it for granted. It's more than, listen, we'll see church in a whole different light. Man, we'll see the things that we go through in a whole different light. In a whole different light. We'll see circumstances and situations, trials and tribulations. We'll see all this stuff in an entirely different light, in the knowledge of the love of Christ and knowing how much he loves us. And that was his plan, to overwhelm us so in the love of Christ that when we go through that nothing will compare. The heartache, the heartbreak, the disappointments, the challenges of life, nothing will compare to that love. That was his plan. We got to get lost in it. We've got to get lost in him. And that's why he can say in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, man, we got to get our eyes. We've got to get unplugged, get our eyes off of all this stuff that's going on, and get our eyes and our hearts fixed on him. It'll change the entirety and the totality of the lens in which we see everything. Not through a religious lens, not through the lens of church, not through the lens of all the stuff that we got to do, but through the lens of this relationship. And guess what? Then we'll gladly run. We'll gladly run to those things and run through those things, the trials of life, because we'll know, we'll operate knowing that all things work together for the good of them that love him, who are lost in that love and who are called according to his purpose will know. We'll walk in the knowledge of that. We'll live in the knowledge. We'll live in the knowledge of who he is. As we get, well, man, there's no limit, no ceiling. We'll continually grow, continually grow in the knowledge of who he is. That's his great plan. Let's get lost in him. Let's get lost in him. Let's listen, because we get lost in this world. We get lost in the noise of this world. No, let's get lost in the, let's get lost in the affirmations of the word of God. Let's get lost in of this fellowship and this relationship that we have with him. That's what we ought to be getting lost in. And guess what? Then nobody can tell you any different. The world can no longer lie to us about what's going on, about our condition. Because guess what? We're thoroughly and entrenched in our position in him. Nobody could tell us. Nobody will be able to tell us any different. That's the glory. That's our glory. It's nowhere else. It's not found in this world. It's found in Christ. That's the glory. Christ in us. Know that we are his glory. He's ours. That's the glory. And then our righteousness, right? Romans 14, 17. We probably all know this one, right? By heart. Right? What did he tell us? He says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what, y'all? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's all about fellowship. He's describing our position in the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. Listen, it's not about what we, anything that will, and that when he says meat or drink, he's, that represents, that's not, that's, that represents the things we get in this world, right? He says, that's not the kingdom of God. And so many times we measure our relationship with God by how much we have in this world. That's not what God, listen, God is not interested in giving us, don't get me wrong, he's going to supply all of our needs. But God is not interested in filling us, in validating us in things that break, depreciate, run out, run off, and die. God is going to fulfill us, fill us, validate us, and affirm us through eternal things. And that's in Christ Jesus. He's not, listen, those things, he'll give you what you need. But man, those things are temporal. He's not interested in fulfilling and satisfying us through temporary things. Man, God operates in the eternal. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above and not on things in the world or the earth, I think he said. Right? He says, why? Because you're dead to those things. You're dead and your life is hid. Our whole life, that's the kingdom of God. That's our position. That's the righteousness is in Christ Jesus. That's why he can say, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness. Your life is hid in Christ Jesus. And when Christ, listen, when Christ is our life, he's our life. Not things, not people, him. He's our life. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, guess what? Then you shall appear with him in glory. Then we're going to walk in what we talked about, that reciprocated glory. When we've died, Christ takes residency. Christ, who is our life, when his life is magnified and manifest in us, right? Then we shall be glorified. We shall be satisfied, validated, affirmed. We'll know the peace of God. We'll know the joy of God. We'll know the love of God. That's what he's talking about. Then we'll be glorified with him. That's what he's talking about. That's the kingdom. That is the kingdom. Our position in Christ Jesus. That's the kingdom. And that's why I said, but it's righteousness. Christ as our life. And then the fruits, what he's describing are the fruits of this righteousness, right? Righteousness, right? Then the fruits, peace and joy. These are the eternal things that we're describing. These are the things he uses to satisfy us and to fulfill us and to validate us. He gives us joy and peace. We get temporary joy and peace through the things in this world. He's talking about eternal joy and peace through when Christ is our life. That's the righteousness, and then the fruit, peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost, our relationship, our fellowship. That's what it's all about, y'all. That's what it's all about. And for that reason, we ought to be in pursuit. He ought to be our pursuit. He ought to be the very object and the focus. Listen, man, people are looking to get fulfilled through education, man, through jobs, through status, right? Through all these things. And I'm trying to tell you right now, man, it's a temporary road, and it's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ. Like, our desire ought to be to grow in our relationship with him. We ought to have tunnel vision for that. That has to be our desire. That's it. Be encouraged. Like, we have something, man. We have something that's beyond this world. That's beyond anything that we could ever go through. That's beyond anything that we could ever obtain. And God's loved us so. He's loved us so that we might pursue it. And man, that ought to be our desire, man. And that's part of my prayer. Lord, I want to love you more. I want to love you more. Reveal more of you to me, right? Because in that love, man, it's going to propel me to pursue. And it's one of those things that just keeps on giving, right? The more we seek him, man, the more he validates, the more he satisfies, the more he fills, the more he tells us how much he loves us. I'm trying to tell you, man, and let that be encouraged in that. Let that be our pursuit and our desire. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you we thank you for who you are, God. And we thank you, oh God, to know that not only are you holy, God, but you are a loving Father, oh God, and you've loved us from the very foundation of the world. You loved us before you created us. You saw us. You testified of it through scripture in Psalms 139. You saw us in our mother's womb, oh God, Heavenly Father, but yet you said your thoughts toward us were like the sands on the beach. And we thank you. We thank you for loving us to that degree, oh God, despite us, oh God, Heavenly Father. And Lord God, Lord, we want to respond in love. Help us right now. Yes, pass God, what we please. See, pass what we hear, pass how we feel, pass what we go through, pass what we experience, oh God. Heavenly Father, yes. To see, oh God, you as you are, oh God, reveal to us, reveal to our heart that there might be a breaking, oh God, to that love. Heavenly Father, that will compel us, oh God. Heavenly Father, and draw us to you even the more. Help us right now. Heavenly Father, break our hearts right now. Break our, Lord, we desire to be broken unto you, oh God, because in that brokenness, oh God, is where we're going to find, Heavenly Father, the eternal blessings, oh God, and the knowledge or the knowledge of who you are and how much you love us, oh God. Break us, oh God. Deliver us, oh God. Heavenly Father, that we can, Lord God, that we can claim that we're dead to the things even of this world, oh God, that we might have you, oh God, have your way right now in our hearts, oh God. Heavenly Father, break us, oh God, even of those things, Lord God, that stand, oh God, in opposition, even of you, have your way in us right now. Lord God, thank you, oh God. Reveal the very affirmations of your word to us, oh God. Help us, oh God, as we read your word. Heavenly Father, to see the person of Christ, even through it, oh God, that you might reveal yourself, oh God, to us, oh God. Have your way, oh God. Give us a desire to get in our closets, Heavenly Father, even the more, even to commit that much more to you, oh Heavenly Father, that you might reveal yourself to us. Have your way, oh God. Have your way right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, those who are sick, Lord God, those that are going through, oh God. Heavenly Father, those, Lord God, who are experiencing different trials, tribulations, and challenges, oh God. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord God, that even in that, Lord God, you reveal yourself right now. Heavenly Father, Lord God, let it be, Lord God, a gateway, oh God. Heavenly Father, to you, oh God. David said, it was good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, oh God. Reveal yourself even in the things that we go through, oh God. Heavenly Father, that we might find the victory, Lord God, that you stand waiting. Heavenly Father, even to give us in yourself, oh God, even through those things, have your way. Right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, even, Lord, just for fellowship going forward, Lord God. Even in tomorrow, in the raising of the tent, oh God, in the men's fellowship on Saturday, oh God, Heavenly Father, and all the other things that we're doing, oh God, Heavenly Father, be revealed in those things, oh God, that it might not just be another thing that we're doing, oh God, but even in that, oh God, you're revealing yourself to us. Have your way, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We commend this time unto you, oh God. Lord God, break our hearts, oh God. Speak to us, oh God. Even long after we've left the Zoom, oh God, have your way in us. We thank you, oh God. We praise you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And for his sake we pray. Amen.